So we celebrate the feast of Saint Boniface today. And Boniface is my number two candidate for the new patron saint of England. Just for the record, my number one candidate is St Alban. So maybe Bishop Hudson's first episcopal act could be to recommend this to the bishops' conference when he gets there and make a name for himself of moving from St George to St Alban. But that's another story. Boniface is one of the great missionaries of the Church, rightly called the Apostle of Germany. He was born in about 675, a Devon man. I was lucky enough to visit his shrine in Crediton just a couple of months ago, which you can go and visit. A monk, a teacher, and then Boniface feeling a pull to go on mission in the German lands, central, north Germany, and what we now call the Netherlands. He gave his whole life to this mission, preaching, baptizing, founding monasteries, inviting sisters to come from England to found female convents, founding parishes, dioceses, a network of communities, a mandate from Rome, and dying as a martyr at the age of 80. It's a gift to have the Feast of St. Boniface coincide with this evening formed by the Catholic Communications Network and us thinking of our roles as communicators in different ways. Because Boniface's life was almost defined by his commitment to communication. At one level, communication is simply about sharing a message. Isn't it remarkable that Boniface could go from Devon to the very north of the German lands and speak not just the same language, but the same dialect as them? The southwest of England and the north, northern stretches of Germany and Holland, we were speaking the same language, the same dialect, and this is what made this missionary work possible. This is what allowed Boniface to go in the first place, this commonality. And then, when Boniface wanted to link this mission and the life of these new churches in these German lands with the wider universal church, when he went to Rome, how could he do that? Because of the Latin language. That in the monastery and the school in Crediton in Devon, Boniface was writing the very first Latin textbook that we have in England. He was using this as his ecclesiastical language, even as he was preaching in his own native language. And having the common language of Latin when he went to Rome and met the Pope and then the next Pope and then the next Pope in his various travels. Part of our work as communicators is finding a common language even before we start speaking, as it were. The importance of finding ways of speaking to each other, of changing our ways of speaking, adapting, experimenting, persevering when we don't understand, learning other languages. Not just imposing our way of speaking, but discovering a common way of speaking with the people that we're with. Even renouncing our own language in a desire to communicate this. So, a common language. But part of communication is also the risk of leaving what is familiar. Remember, Boniface was an exile. He left Devon. He left his home. He left the familiarity of his monastic, religious, spiritual community. And every time we step out to another to communicate, there is always some sense of stepping away from what is familiar for us. This is obviously the experience of the foreign correspondent, but all of us in different ways, when we want to share and learn and communicate, have some sense of exile if our communication is genuine. Language is not just about dominating, but elucidating. It's about leaving behind and not just going towards. Another part of communication is the courage to challenge what is wrong, what is harmful, what is untrue. The journalist's tag of speaking truth to power. And this was so true in the life of St. Boniface. If you know only one story about Boniface, it's probably about the tree. And in case you don't know it, just in a few sentences, there is this huge oak tree in Friesland with the Germanic tribes. And it's a kind of totemic tree. It's a source of all their fears and superstitions. And what does Boniface do? Well, it's not very politically correct, but he picks up the nearest axe, strides towards the tree, and with a few chops of the axe, it collapses before him and the assembled crowds, falls into four parts miraculously, and he builds a chapel out of the wood that's used afterwards. Now, you might say this is a story of violence, of one culture coming in and overcoming another. But I don't think it is really. I think it's about the courage to confront and challenge and set free. Boniface was not imposing his own strength on this tribe with an axe. Quite the opposite. In his humility, he was using the axe to set them free from the bondage that this tree and all it symbolized held over them. The lies that were keeping them in servitude. This is part of what our life is about as communicators at whatever level. And part of communication is not just about the message that we do share, it's about the fact of sharing. That by sharing ourselves, our stories, our words, our truths with others, we create a common space that didn't exist before, a common life. We sometimes forget, don't we, that the word communication, in Latin communicare, it's got the same root as the word communis, common. Every day, what is common, the ordinary stuff that we share, the bread that we break, the communion that binds us together, these are all the same words. Communication, holding in common. Sharing our words, sharing our lives, creating a space where we can be one with each other. This is what Jesus is talking about in the Gospel today, his high priestly prayer that all of us be one, that's not the full stop, that we be one as he and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. In other words, the deepest peace and unity that we are seeking, whoever we are, and the peace and the unity and the commonality that we're trying to build through our work, particularly as communicators, it can only be successful, truly, if it has deeper roots. If our words come from a word that is bigger than us. If what we share with others and what we share of ourselves is because, ultimately, of what God has shared in us by sending his Son. So I just want to encourage you. Tonight is partly a thanksgiving for all the work of communication that goes on in this country and in the church. I want to encourage you in your different vocations to thank you for all the work that you do in communications, whether it's communicating for the church, whether it's communicating what the church is doing, or whether it's communicating in any way in your different professions and your vocations. Let me finish with a symbol from Boniface's life that maybe sums up all of this. I told you that he was a martyr. Another story that, forgive me if it's too well known already. Right at the end of his life, a man aged 80, he got the missionary pull again. He'd never been happier than in his monastery that he founded of Fulda, which is still there today. But the pull, the call, to go out, to go to others, it stayed with him. And he went back to Friesland in the Netherlands, where he'd started his mission, and he went even further north to tribes that had never heard the gospel. He was sitting in his tent, waiting for the confirmandi to turn up. And I don't think that meant in the next half hour, that might have meant in the next month, who knows. But he's there waiting, and another violent tribe comes, hearing about this missionary incursion into their lands. And his area, his tent, is overcome very quickly, and he's martyred by a sword coming down on top of him and slicing into his head and shoulder. Sorry, one or two grimaces. But the story is true. He was reading, and when he saw himself being attacked by this swordsman, his instinct, here am I with the gospel here, his instinct immediately was to hold the book that he was reading from up to protect himself. And the slice of the sword came through the book onto his body, and he fell to the floor. And isn't it remarkable that that very book is still in the monastery at Fulda today? The wooden binding of the book is cut through with the sword, and Boniface's own martyred bloodstains are still on the book today in his shrine. And I say it's a symbol of what we've been thinking about, because isn't it beautiful? When he was being attacked by the violence of another, the very opposite of communication, of being in common, what did he do? He held the word up to protect himself. He said to the other, here is a word, a book. Here is my word. Here is the truth. This is what will save us. This is what will protect me. And ultimately, of course, the word did protect him. This word that I hold before you is the very thing that should be uniting us, not separating us. And instead of fleeing or hiding, he held this word to the other in the hope that he would receive it. Let's take that as a symbol of our vocation as communicators. Whatever is happening around us, whether it is well received or not, to have the courage and the joy and the simplicity of always holding our word in truth up to the other.